Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. Hopefully, we will be able to hear every single word we say this week. Coach K, can you hear me loud and clear? Hello, Coach K. Uh-oh. We're going to call him live, people. This is live radio. We're calling him on. He got cut off. Get another switch.
Sorry about that.
Coach, you there?
Sorry about that.
Did I cut you off?
I don't know what happened.
I didn't even realize you were cut off. I said, Coach, can you hear me this week? And all of a sudden, I guess you could. I got a little nervous.
Oh, the fun of technology.
Mm-hmm. So before I went to do all the talking, Joe. I apologize for last week already. Last week I couldn't talk. I tried. It wasn't working out quite that well, you know, and we apologize. That was, we like to always place the blame on others. We're going to. It was our host, Blog Talk Radio's problem. They apparently there was a cyber terrorism that went on, and Twitter and a bunch of accounts were hit, and Blog Talk Radio was, but did not realize till Friday that they were affected, and they were out trying to change a server throughout our show, which we gladly ended early because, as I was going to tell, though, the people that were listening had no idea. It was only affecting people who were on the show, you and I, and whoever else we had on. We could not hear very much of what each other were saying.
Yeah, that was definitely an issue. I wonder if the cyber terrorists were actually people out to cut off the Coach K and Joe Show.
I think, you know, that every week it's growing in popularity. I mean, you know, people talking about it constantly. And, for instance, last week, Reed got a carry during the Home Team Friday football game, and our buddy Chris Goodman gave us a nice plug on the air about the show. And, we appreciate that.
You always find a way to bring a family member in, don't you, Joe? You always find a way to do that.
Actually, if you want me to know family member, he's expecting a little commission, he said. I said he gets 1% of everything we're taking in right now.
That 1% of nothing is nothing, but it's still 1% of nothing. Speaking of family members, Joe, give us a quick update before we talk a little pro football. Give us a quick update on how our favorite volleyball coach, Coach Liz Milligan, and her netters and setters are doing.
Well, you know, they've won, I think, three in a row now. They're playing really good. Well, actually, last weekend she came home and she wasn't in that bad of a mood. She played Roncalli, which was ranked, I think, fourth or fifth in the state in 4A, and Columbus East, which was ranked fifth in 4A, and Brownstown Central, number one in 3A. And then Shelbyville. Well, they beat Shelbyville, but she said they played good, so she was pretty excited. You know, I didn't know how, when she got home, what kind of mood she was going to be in, and she's seeing light at the end of the tunnel. And she actually said she's gotten some good advice from Coach K. Things are going good.
Well, I'm glad to see. I knew they would. You know, it's coaching is very tough. You put a lot of pressure on yourself. Coaches by nature are confident and yet they're insecure at the same time, and you want your kids to play well. You want them to go out there and do even more than what the people watch and expect. You want them to play hard and give their best, and regardless, you always feel like it's a reflection of what you're doing or not doing. But she's doing a great job, and Jasper Volleyball has always had a strong program, and every program goes through some dips and cycles, and she's inherited a bunch of young ladies who are smart and hardworking and a little inexperienced, but she's bringing them along, and she's bringing them along against great competition, Joe.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if any college volleyball coaches listen to us, but if they do, there's a well kept secret called Tori Servisheim that you may need to check into. So, little plug there for Tori.
Well, we're just glad things are moving in the direction that she wants them to. It'll make things easier. She already has to put up with you. My gosh, I'm glad she has some positive things outside the house. Let's talk a little pro football, Joe. You know, last weekend was the first week, and we saw a lot of great games out there. We saw a lot of low-scoring games. We saw some teams that normally put some points up, but they didn't do that. You look at what the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't do. They didn't score many points. You had some great games like San Francisco and Green Bay. San Francisco pulled that one out. Power rankings are out after the first week. You've got San Francisco, Denver, Seattle, Houston's four. Houston barely came back and won that game. They had to put on a run to come back and beat the San Diego Chargers. New England up there again. Although, Joe, when we talk a little bit about the Patriots and Brady, we got to talk about the fact that he's got almost all new receivers he's throwing to this coming weekend. New Orleans, Atlanta, Indianapolis comes in at 9, and then Chicago is at 10 with Jay Cutler. Then it goes on from there. What in the first week of the NFL season, was there a game or games that particularly stood out to you? Efforts by individuals or final scores that bothered you? I know you weren't happy with the Bengals.
Well, I mean, I wasn't, but then, you know, the Bears got a nice team. And, you know, and I'm not a Bears fan, but, you know, with Jay Cutler being a local product, you know, you always kind of hope he does well, except for when he plays your team. And, you know, he had a nice week, and that really stood out to me. That, you know, maybe, you know, he's been the whipping child for a lot of people. You know what I mean? He, I don't know if it's rightly so or not. I don't follow the Bears that close. But, you know, I'd like to see him do well this year.
I think the Bears are like kind of an enigma. Cutler's kind of an enigma at that QB position with the Bears. On paper, they always look like they're going to be something. They seem to struggle. They're in a tough conference, tough division. You know, they got to go up against the Packers, and they got to go up against the Vikings, and there's just some tough teams in there. But what I really struggle with is I don't call the Bears-Bengals game at Chicago a marquee or key game in how either team is going to do. I think the Bengals are overrated. I think the Bears are overrated. Well, I mean, I know that makes you mad because you're a Bengals fan, but I really think that every year we go in and the Bengals, they're always talking so highly of the Bengals. And they're always talking, oh, the Bears have finally got it. They've got the defense. Now the offense is coming. And we continually see both teams limping, struggling, trying to make the playoffs. That's why I don't think that was such a great marquee matchup. Whoever wins that is critical to their season. I don't buy it, Joe.
Well, yeah, I don't. I live through the Bengal hype every year, and I agree that there usually is a lot. I for one, you know, I start proclaiming in June Super Bowl champions this year. You know, and I guess wishful thinking. You know, if I believe it enough, maybe it'll happen. You know, and but I'll tell you what. Other than that, you know, Andrew Luck is just Andrew Luck. You know, they lost Manning, which, you know, 7 touchdown passes last week. But, I mean, they've got a really good one there, one they're going to have for a long time.
Andrew Luck did a nice job, and I think his last name is perfect for that game. You know, the Colts controlled most of the game by just a hair, a thin hair. And they just let the Raiders keep coming back. And, guys, the Raiders aren't very good. Now, you Colt fans who are going crazy, yeah, we're 1-0. We haven't been 1-0. If we go 2-0, it'll be the first time since the Super Bowl season. Let me tell you something. The Raiders are not a great football team. And I'm not saying the Colts aren't going to be a great football team, but what I'm telling you right now is there's some obvious holes, obvious chinks in the armor on the defensive side. There's still some questions on the offensive side, but you've got a quarterback. You've got a quarterback in Andrew Luck that if he's given the protection he needs, he will move you down the field and get you in position to score or get a field goal if it gets tough. My concern is going to be when they go up against some of these other teams in the division, although I don't think the division's that tough, actually, will they struggle just like they did against the Oakland Raiders to hold serve, using a tennis analogy, and be able to control the football game? We're going to have to see. Miami's coming in this weekend, and I know later on in the show we'll be talking with Kurt Gutzel, and you know Gook is a huge Miami fan, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Loves the Dolphins. I guess that's back from the Dan Marino era, I guess. Maybe, you know, him and Kenny Bierk are probably the only two Dolphin fans that I physically know. I mean, but...
Well, he probably has the Marino, and then he probably caught the tail end growing up. He probably caught the tail end of the great teams in the early 70s. He would have started to love them then. And, you know, Indiana didn't have a football team, so, there were limits on who you're going to cheer for, especially back when there was 12, 16 teams. Joe, another team that I really question, and I don't know if you got to catch the game. I caught the game, and that was the Giants and the Cowboys. Now, we didn't get all the hype going into the season that we normally get with the Tony Romo, Dallas Cowboy, America's team. Now, you Dallas Cowboy fans, and I know you're zealous and you're crazy, and I know there's a lot of you out there, but I'm telling you right now, that game that Dallas won was a nice win for them, but it is not indicative of their ability to be called an outstanding team at this point. Many of the turnovers that the Giants made, and let's face it, folks, Dallas barely won the game, and the Giants made turnover after turnover after turnover after turnover after turnover, and a lot of them were unforced turnovers. I do have to say this. It is amazing how the NFL starts the season off with so many critical games to start, such as Philly at Washington, which we'll talk about in just a minute. We'll get your ideas, Joe, on the Chip Kelly offense. But and then you got Dallas and New York Giants. And the Giants, just Eli Manning uncharacteristically threw some bad passes. They were behind receivers. They were too high for receivers. Dallas ends up making the play, but my gosh, it wasn't because there were forced turnovers. There wasn't that much pressure in the pocket. You can pick out a few things, Dallas Cowboy fans, but there really wasn't. It wasn't what I would call forced turnovers. The Giants just didn't play well.
Yeah, the Giants turned over the ball way too much. If you're going to turn the ball over as much as they did, the odds of you winning are slim to none. So.
And it doesn't get any easier for the Giants, Joe. I mean, you got the Manning matchup. You got Denver coming off a pretty nice performance, and Peyton Manning matching a record not done since 1969 with Joe Capp, 7 TDs in a game, and they're going to be taking on Eli Manning and the Giants. And I'll tell you what, even though the Giants played poorly, I think this is going to be a tough game. I don't know that I would truly pick a favorite, even though I'm sure Denver is favored. If the Giants clean up just a little bit, this is going to be a tough game because I don't think Denver has a great defense.
Maybe there will be a 14 touchdown passes. What do you think?
Well, 7-7, maybe, possibly. But I just think it's an interesting matchup this early in the year. These are big games. I mean, they got great storylines. The NFL has created great storylines. You've got a red-hot Peyton Manning going into battle with his little brother on the big stage in New York. Eli coming off a tough game, and yet we say Eli came off a tough game, Joe. He threw for 460 yards, but he had those picks, and it ended up in a giant loss. But when you're sitting there looking at Denver, Peyton Manning, Eli, the Giants, do you have a soft spot for either one, or do you have one that you think is going to come out of this one with a victory?
I've never been a Colts fan. That's never hid that, but I've always respected and really liked Peyton Manning. I mean, you know, I just he's my favorite, but that whole family is just such a class act that, you know, I don't know if I could pick one exactly. So Archie, I'll pick Archie.
Well, either way, I think that's a great storyline game. We got a bunch of great storyline games this weekend. We got Alabama, Texas A&M. Whether you're a Manziel, Johnny Football fan, whether you're a Saban fan, Alabama is just Alabama. The Roll Tide roll. Texas A&M probably is overhyped. I don't know that they have the team, even though they were able to get Alabama last year. I don't know if they're going to sneak up on Bama this year. So there's a lot of great games going on, but there's other things going on in sports. The Cardinals are battling to try to stay in first place in their division. I think they lost a big game last night, and the Pirates won, and the Pirates are either tied with them or possibly have taken over the lead in that division, but it's a tight lead. No, it's the Cardinals and the Pirates are tied for first, and St. Louis is 2.5 out. That's a great division that's shaping up.
Yeah, that's been an exciting one, and that's what, baseball needs, those kind of races just to keep people interested, at this time of year. And that sure is keeping people in my household interested. I've got some Cardinal freaks, and, as I call them. And, the Cardinal fans are some of the most rabid fans that you'll find. So,
well, Mike Matheny has done a great job, and Clint Hurdle has done a great job in Pittsburgh. Just when it looked like the Pirates were going to start to fail again, they reamped it back up, and they're tied for first. And the interesting thing, the way the baseball playoffs are set up, folks, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Cincinnati, if they continue to win at the pace they're winning, they should all three make the playoffs out of that division. I think Washington is trying to catch the Reds for that last spot, but I don't think they're going to be able to do it. The Reds are playing good enough baseball to stay in that wild card hunt. If you're a soccer fan, the USA defeated Mexico to qualify for the World Games, and also, if you follow U of E, University of Evansville soccer, the men's team, big win against number 6 St. Louis, 2-1. Evansville, U of E, has always had a pretty solid nationally recognized soccer program, at least in the Fred Schmaltz era they did. They dropped a little bit back. Coach Jacobs is bringing them back up, but they played tough soccer all year long. And it was nice to see them get a big win over St. Louis, 2-1. Again, St. Louis was the number 6 ranked team. So whether it's soccer or baseball or football or golf or tennis or volleyball, it's all going on. And you can all hear as much as we can talk about on the Coach Ken and Joe show. Folks, finding out what you want to talk about is important. We continue to ask you to text us. You can text me directly at 812-480-9449. Again, you can text me directly at 480-9449 here on the Coach K and Joe Show. Joe just went after our first guest. We're going to have Kyle Neddenrip up. He is the high school beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. Man, he does some great stuff, folks. And if you haven't been reading his stuff out of the Indianapolis Star, you need to do that. You can also follow him on Twitter as well. He's constantly talking about things and posting things and just some great stuff on the high school side in Indianapolis. I want to go back to the NFL a little bit. You know, when we start the season, it's always about the quarterbacks. And as you go through the season, it's mostly about the quarterbacks. One particular non-quarterback that people need to at least look at or talk about. He's a running back, Adrian Peterson out of Minnesota. He says he's going for 2,500 yards this year. He starts out the game last weekend, runs for 79 yards and a TD. Didn't quite continue that through the game, ended up with 95 yards, but still, if you had him in fantasy football, he did a nice job for you. But it is always about the quarterbacks. What's going on with Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh? I know there's a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans out there, and there should be. Fans of the Steel Curtain in the 70s, on through into the 90s, 2000s. They've had some great football there. And Ben Roethlisberger is such a unique physical quarterback. He's tall. He's strong. He moves well. He's kind of a freak at that position. A lot of times you get the big tall guy or you get the big physical guy, but they can't move in the pocket like Roethlisberger has. Now, he's had some injuries here in the last couple of years, and it may have slowed him down a little bit, but he's still an outstanding quarterback. But is there a problem between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback? Keep an eye on that situation in Pittsburgh. Keep an eye on that situation. Roethlisberger has not come out against it, but it looks like the fit's not working. Somebody's got to make an adjustment. I don't know if Roethlisberger needs to make the adjustment. It might be the offensive coordinator. Hey, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Kyle Medenrip from the Indianapolis Star. Everything high school up there in the Indianapolis area. It's a great place for high school sports. Come back. We'll be talking to Kyle. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
A monkey's might fly out of my butt.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You've got the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, and we're back with our first guest of the Friday lineup, Kyle Medenrip. Kyle, great to have you on the show.
Good.
Kyle, you with us?
Yep, I'm here, guys. How you doing?
I'm sorry, Kyle. I had a little bit of a glitch there for just a second. Kyle Medenrip with the Indianapolis Star, the high school sports reporter. Kyle, you are the busiest man in all of Indianapolis. I know that. I follow you on Twitter. I read your articles. You're at everything. You're picking everything. You're writing about everything. How do you keep it all organized?
Oh, I don't know. You know, this is my sixth year doing it, and, you know, I guess you just kind of get into a little bit of a rhythm. But But yeah, I mean,
well, it sounds like you're fading in a little bit, in and out on us, Kyle. But we'll just keep hanging in there with each other. You did a story about high school football and safety this past week, and you talked about the EMTs and the ambulances on site. We went through a period of some extreme heat throughout the state right as the football game season schedule started. Number of players all over the state taking off the field, exhaustion, heat problems. My question, Kyle, when you're talking to these ADs and these coaches, do they have any idea or any thoughts on why now this? I know it's the heat, but is it because we had such a mild preseason practice schedule coming into the football season?
Yeah, in one of the situations, I think that was the case with the Heritage Christian Triton Central game. You know, there was a lot of cramping and the heat exhaustion and just a kind of a variety of odd circumstances that led to that. You know, needing three ambulances in one night is something I've never heard of. You know, just something, you know, just completely, you know, off the wall. And probably won't happen again, you know, knock on wood. The other one, the situation at Manual was, you know, kind of a hit, an awkward hit, you know, that led to obviously a very serious situation for that young man from Edinburgh. And, you know, those things happen on football game nights. You know, unfortunately, you know, that you know, led to that young man not being able to play the rest of the season and internal bleeding and pretty serious situation. And they didn't have an ambulance there, and maybe that wouldn't have made any difference at all. But, you know, it at least makes you think twice, you know. And to be honest with you, I've covered high school football for a long time, and I notice the ambulance is there, you know, but I don't, you know, really take much stock into it. I never thought much about it, you know. And so I was just kind of curious what all these area high schools do. So kind of sent out an email to a bunch of athletic directors just to see what their protocol was on Friday nights and got a – you know, good wide variety of responses and turned into, I think, a somewhat interesting story, you know, just to see what they do. And it sounds like most of them are, you know, obviously prepared, you know, for what may happen. You know, like Cathedral said, they haven't used the ambulance in 17, 18 years, but they have it there, you know, every single game night. So, you know, you always want to be prepared, you know, for the worst. You know, every second matters in those situations. But also it's not mandated by the state just because, you know, financial reasons. You know, the IHSA doesn't want to put a school in a position where they're forcing them, you know, to pay to have an ambulance there. So they kind of leave it up to the individual school to make sure their players are safe and they have the kind of a system, an emergency system, you know, for whatever may happen on game night. But, you know, just something I think to think about. You know, a lot of talk about football safety these days, and that, you know, I thought maybe that was something a little bit different that kind of fit in that dialogue.
I think it's an important part of the dialogue. You know, being a father myself, and I know you as well as a parent, you know, even though our kids may play different sports, when they go out on the field or they go out on the court, you don't know what's going to happen. It's physical, it's reckless abandon. Injuries are a part of it, sprained ankles, busted lips, black eyes. But every once in a while, somebody loses their front teeth. Somebody breaks a wrist, somebody breaks a bone, but these heat exhaustions, these faintings, the hit where the guy can't move the legs, those are scary, scary situations, even with all of the rules and all of the equipment. Kyle, when you were talking to some of these ADs in some of these schools, did you get a sense that most everybody had something in place, or did maybe some of the rural schools, were they at a disadvantage with as far as ambulances being available or their ability to work with doctors groups or hospitals?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's kind of a wide range. You know, for a lot of the city schools, they will hire a private company, a private ambulance company, ambulance service to cover the games for them. And a lot of times they'll have at least one EMT. Most of the times they'll have two. And they will either hire them by the hour or hire them per game night. And usually that runs, you know, around $200 for a game night to have them on site, you know, and you've got, what, five or six home games per season. So you know, it's not a huge expense. You know, anything, you know, is, you know, in this, in the budget concern, you know, of our time now with athletics and high schools, it's, you know, it's an added expense. But, you know, for a lot of the city schools, that's what they do. Or they will have, they just hire an EMT. That EMT will have a, you know, kind of a gator, you know, a big golf cart that has all the necessary equipment, you know, all the life-saving things that they need, a backboard, and that's a little bit less expensive. I know Hamilton Southeastern and Fishers both do that. And then I, you know, talk to a lot of the more rural area schools or, you know, one school communities. You know, for instance, Tri-West, they'll have, you know, it's three towns that go into Tri-West High School. They have all, you know, their volunteer fire department will rotate each game, and they'll have somebody there, an ambulance there, and they rotate that through the season. And then the school, you know, will you know, basically give them $300, you know, each of those donate, you know, money at the end of the season, just to kind of say thank you for doing that, you know, sort of service. So, you know, I know Edinburgh, you know, a lot of other smaller schools, they don't have to pay anything. You know, the local fire department will come out there, and, you know, if they have to go on call for something, you know, an emergency happens out in, you know, a farm by Edinburgh or something, they may have to leave for a while and then and come back. But so it just depends on, you know, it's totally up to each school, basically. There's nothing that says, you know, this is what you have to do on a given night. But, you know, from what I found, most, you know, most situations where at least they had, you know, had a plan in place and, you know, something over the years that's worked for that particular school. So, you know, again, it's different. I found it interesting just to find out what the differences were, you know, just on a for each school, each given situation.
Well, I think it was a great article, and I encourage people to take a look at it. I mean, I think a lot of times we grow up in our communities and we see the fire department there, we see the local doctors there, we take it for granted that some situations are much different. You've got a lot of kids out there, especially in the early part of the football season, when it can be extremely hot, and the injuries can happen at any time in any sport, but especially in football with the hits, the gang tackling, and the things that go on, the angles the bodies are moving at. So I think it's a great story. And as a parent, as I said, it's always a concern, and it doesn't seem to be on our minds until it happens in our community with one of our teams. But that was great stuff. Hey, you know, when we look at Indianapolis, some of the best football talent and some of the best football teams are in that Circle City. And you look at Lawrence Central and Center Grove and Penn, Ben Davis, Pike, Warren Central, Carmel. It goes on and on and on. And I just hit some of the big schools. You're looking at all those schools, and I know every week you've been trying to put together where you pick some teams. I think you're running about 75% winning percentage here on your picks, Kyle.
Yeah, I need to get back over 80%. So, you know, hopefully this week I can get some right. But it's fun. I mean, I don't put a whole lot of time into that just based on other things going on. But I think people enjoy reading this, and hopefully they'll take it seriously. But, this year especially, they're just this area. I think maybe slightly, you know, from what they've done so far, proven themselves to be worthy of number one. I'm really like the growth team. To get to Carmel, but, you know, next week, you know, that could be the game of the season. You know, those two could be 1-2 heading into that game. And regardless of what happens tonight, it'll be a good game, but that could be a, you know, it's really the equivalent of the SEC. I mean, just on any given night, I mean, you know, look at tonight, you got, you know, those two games I mentioned, you know, albeit the Warren Central Ben Davis game, you know, that's always a great game, and those two teams very good again this year. So, you know, the addition of Pike and Lawrence Central, you know, into the mix this year has just made a great conference even tougher, you know, and I know it's tough, you know, when you're looking at that schedule at the beginning of the year and you're North Central. I mean, there's just no let up, you know, even though North Central is 0-3, you know, they've got a pretty good team, but, you know, just based on the schedule they play, it's just hard to make up any ground, you know. So, really makes it for somebody who covers it. It's a lot of fun because you got great games every Friday. You know, for a coach, I think it's a little difficult. You know, just to try to navigate through that. You know, through the schedule, but you know, it's great games every night. You got that for sure.
Yeah, and these kids are not your 150-pound lightweights. These are big, strong kids on the high school level. And as a coach, you're not only getting prepared for the next team you're going to play, but you're trying to keep your team healthy as you go into these big games, especially in a conference like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, like I said, I mean, it used to be, you know, the Terre Haute schools were, you know, and a lot of times, honestly, they weren't bad, you know, the Terre Haute North and South, but, you know, they would just get dominated by the MIC. And, you know, so now you get those two schools in a better conference, a better fit for them with the Conference Indiana. And I think they'll be both be very competitive in that league. And then, you know, Pike and Warren Central had a lot more in common, you know, with those schools in the MIC anyway. So it made a lot of sense, you know, to get those two schools in there. And, you know, geography-wise, I mean, those are easy schools to get to, you know, for the MIC schools. And but again, it just makes it an absolute meat grinder when you add those two to the MIC in football and really in basketball, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle, one more thing before we let you go. And again, we appreciate you being with us again. When you look at the Indianapolis teams you've been able to watch, can you give us a couple of players? They don't have to be the quarterback, just a couple of players that have stood out to you that are on the radar or maybe should be on the radar?
Well, a kid I saw last week, and he's on the radar definitely, is Brandon Lee, you know, from Lawrence Central. He's a linebacker. You know, I picked him as the preseason defensive player of the year in the state. But he just goes, he's just a playmaker. You know, I've heard various thoughts on him as a college player, but man, every time, you know, there's a big game, you know, he's in the middle of the action. You know, he made a safety last week against Louisville Trinity, you know, sacking the end zone. That was a huge play in that game, you know, two nationally ranked teams, and really leads that defense. You know, that defense is, I can't believe there's many better, you know, in the state than that one, and he's the leader of that team, at least on that side of the ball, and defense will carry that team this year definitely, you know, with a lot of new offensive guys. So, you know, he's a guy that really, really stands out to me as somebody, you know, I've seen so far that, you know, that is deserving of a lot of credit for how his team's doing. You know, and then another guy on the offensive side of the ball and a team that maybe a lot of people didn't realize was going to be this good is Levante Bellamy from Brebeuf Jesuit. Running back, extremely fast. He's all, you know, all-state sprinter. You know, I think he's got about 500 yards already against good competition. They've got another tough game tonight against Tech. But Brebeuf 3-0, number one in the state in 3A, and a big reason for that is Bellamy. You know, he's a junior. Like I said, just world-class speed and very elusive, and a guy that's maybe been a little bit off the radar, but I'd be surprised if, you know, he doesn't have some Big Ten offers, you know, by the time all's said and done, because I think he can play at that level. So, you know, there's a couple guys, and those weren't really, you know, especially unknown guys, but two guys I think that have really stood out so far this year.
You know, I said one more thing for you. This, I promise you, Kyle, this is the last thing. Cathedral got off to a rough start. Is this a team that's off to the rough start because of playing tough competition, or they're struggling a little bit? What are your thoughts, and what are you hearing on Cathedral?
Well, with Cathedral, it's always, you know, you can kind of throw out the record, you know, by the time they get to the tournament because of the schedule that they play. You know, they're playing, you know, 6A teams, or they're playing, you know, really good competition from out of state. You know, it's usually Cathedral, I mean, last year they had five losses in one state, you know, so I don't think there's any cause for panic over there. You know, they kind of know what the deal is. You know, they've got a sensational offense. I mean, defensively, I think there's some question marks there. They gave up a ton of yards and points last week to South Bend St. Joe and struggled with Warren Central, you know, the week before that as well, you know, defensively. So I think there's maybe some concern on that side of the ball. But, you know, really an offense that can put up a ton of points and yards. And, you know, I think it'll be, when all said and done, I think they'll be standing there at Lucas Oil, you know, in Class 5A.
And there's some big games at Lucas Oil this weekend?
Yeah. The really the big one is Florence Central and Carmel tonight at 8:45 at Lucas Oil. So that'll be should be a heck of a game. I wouldn't be surprised. Even though Carmel's 1-2, they've still got a good team, very capable of winning that game. So that's kind of the highlight of the game, I think, for tonight anyway.
Great stuff as always. Before I let you go, Dolphins and the Colts, who's your pick?
Oh, boy. I'll take the Colts. I'll take the Colts on the close one.
It should be a good matchup. I don't know how good the Dolphins are. I know a lot of Dolphin fans in the area would like to see them play well, but, again, we're Colts fans too. So, again, Kyle, thanks for being with us. Great stuff. What a bastion of talent Indianapolis has become on the high school sports level, and we just appreciate having you to tell us about it.
Hey, no problem, guys. Anytime.
Thanks a lot. We're going to go from Indianapolis. We're going to head to Evansville to the SIAC Conference. When we come back, we'll talk to the good guy, Chris Goodman. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelars a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Does your website work for you?
Yep.
Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. Creating beautiful smiles.
I'm an assistant greenskeeper. They say that doesn't mean anything, you know, until I'm the head greenskeeper.
Can you give me a ruling on this?
Oh, sit down. Come on.
No, I don't want to stick anything in here.
Well, here, take this thing off. This is dirty. Don't go to too much trouble.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, I'll tell you what. Did you slip a few bucks to Chris Goodman last week after the show or something? Or?
No, I didn't slip any money to him because I wouldn't have any to slip because you don't pay me for this, Joe. But I'll tell you what, he knows we were watching because we know what he said. He gave us a nice plug during their Friday night game, and we appreciate that, Chris. And it's always good to have the voice of football, high school football in Southern Indiana on the show, and especially the SIAC Conference, Chris Goodman. Chris, it's Friday. You got to be feeling pumped and ready. Football ready to be played.
Oh, yeah, and it's finally cool. You know, for the first time, I think I'll be up in a booth and I won't be sweating, so that's going to be good. The first couple of weeks have been extremely hot, and I think this is our first glimpse of football weather, so I'm even more pumped about the weather.
And before we get on to the SIAC and some of the games that are coming up, maybe some of the games that were played, what does Chris Goodman have for the Friday night game of the week?
We are doing South Spencer at Owensboro Catholic down in Owensboro at Still Stadium. Owensboro Catholic's coming off a tough loss. South Spencer's 2-1. They're only lost to Gibson Southern. We tried to do this game last year, and we had lightning, and it actually we were doing it live at that point, and we kind of had to cancel our broadcast, which was frustrating for all of us. But it's neat to have that border battle between Kentucky and Indiana.
Yeah, and that is a big border battle. We talked with some supporters of South Spencer. I did at least last week, and they talk about that game. Now, just quickly on that game and those two teams before we jump into the SIAC, Owensboro Catholic, which usually has a pretty solid football team, they just got rocked last week.
Yeah, and I don't understand that at all. I mean, maybe Owensboro's just really good because I think it was 43-0 or something close to that effect, and Owensboro Catholic never gets knocked off like that. I mean, I think back in the day, Owensboro, when they had their heyday and their great teams with Justin Miller and those players, then you saw it happen. But Owensboro Catholic, regardless of what happens in that game every year, seems to always be a force in Class 2A.
And then South Spencer, they have a big game against a much, much improved Tell City team. In fact, a marksman team that a lot of people were really bragging about, and they should, because it's been an outstanding start for Tell City football, one that we haven't seen in decades. But they're able to eke out a big win, a tough win against Tell City.
Yeah, and I think South Spencer, did you look at their only loss? And I think they allowed 50 points to Gibson Southern, but right now you're kind of saying, who doesn't? You know, I mean, everybody does. But I think if you take away that game, which obviously you can't take away a game from somebody's schedule, but if you look at the bigger picture for South Spencer, I think their defense is much better than that game may have shown.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, it's hard to take anything away from that because Gibson Southern's putting up 50 points against everybody. So at least to this point in the early season, let's jump into the SIAC as we need to, and that's where you really help us and keep our listeners updated into what's going on. Big game tonight, at least from a rival standpoint. East Side, West Side, one I'm very familiar with, having kids who have gone to Memorial and having been the executive director at Memorial for a couple years. Memorial versus Modern Day. Modern Day, Mike Gable, off to another big start, and they're scoring 50 points a game against Coach Hurley and Memorial Tigers. Got off to a tough start, but picked up a win last weekend at 1-2. You kind of throw out the records. It's at the Rice Bowl, but this is a Memorial team that really does have its work cut out against this Modern Day team.
Again, I think Memorial showed some vast improvement from their first two losses, and they beat North last week. They've got an unbelievable weapon in Warren McKinley, a young kid that's a running back that it just has loads of talent. He caught a touchdown pass, a very long touchdown pass last week against the Huskies. And this game's always close, or it seems to be close. Modern Day's won the last three in a row. They won 23-8 last year. But then you look at the weapons for the Wildcats on offense, and it's like a broken record. Every year they got a good quarterback, and they got great receivers. They got Chase Hain, first-year quarterback, Jacob Fleming, who I think is an all-world for the SIC as far as receiving, Julian Widener, Seth Cruz. They've got multiple targets, which is never good for any defense when you see three receivers that can really, you know, catch the ball and a quarterback that can get it to them.
Yeah, and another part of that game is the fact the differences in the lines. Modern Day with a big offensive line, Memorial a little bit undersized on both sides of the ball from that regard. Again, you've got some teams that have some differences, weaknesses, and strengths, but it is a rival game between the two Catholic high schools in Evansville.
Right, and it's always a fun one to go to. I mean, when you get a chance to go see that and see the colors and see all the Catholic kids getting into it. And by that I mean you don't go to all these football games all the time. You see small student sections at some of the SIAC games, but you don't see the student sections like you will at a game like tonight when Memorial and Modern Day battle, because it's just one of those things where everybody gets into it. And I always called it, back when I was working at Channel 14 with Mike Blake, we would call it, it's kind of like a social outing, you know, for the Catholics. It seems like everybody goes to that game, and that's one of those events that people just don't miss. They mark it on their calendar. They make sure that they're there when they play. The outcome is kind of, I would say, irrelevant for some of the fans. They just, it's a good time to go and meet everybody and just kind of hang out. And I could be wrong, but that's, from an outsider looking in, that's the way it's always looked to me.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game as far as the fans are concerned. They do get involved. They come out. This is a game that brings a lot of generations of both Memorial and Modern Day fans out. And it looks like Modern Day has the upper hand, at least going into the game. But as you said, a big win for Memorial, you know, picking up that first win of the season. And that cures a lot of ills to pick up that win. So that'll be interesting. That'll be at the Rights Bowl. Both schools, Memorial with about 650 students. Modern Day's right, a little bit over 500 students. They've seen their enrollment drop a little bit, but still tough football and just good, strong heritage between the two. You've got Castle at Bossy. Now, Castle coming off a nice win against Wrights. They go to Bossy. Bossy is a team that's 1-2, but Bossy, they're kind of they're interesting because it got a lot of speed on the offensive side of the ball, and they're scoring a lot of points. They're giving up a lot of points, Chris, but they're scoring a lot of points.
Right, and I think anytime you score 148 points in three games, no matter who you're playing, that's very indicative of a pretty prolific offense. Carrington Crutcher is a great running back. We talked about the quarterback last week, and I think Castle is going to have to put up more points, but against Bossy's defense, like you said, I think the Knights may hit their stride tonight offensively, something they've yet to do this season. You know, they lost their opener, bounce back. They've won a couple in a row after losing that first game. Now they're 2-1. Their defense pitched a shutout. But like you said, I think that's an interesting matchup because you've got a D that just pitched a shutout against Wright. You had Mitchell Thornbury had an interception return for a touchdown, and Clay Seitz had an interception. They have multiple talented people on the Castle defensive side of the ball, and some of those guys play both ways, but their defense is really their stronghold. I think if they're going to build a team around anything, they beat New Albany 14-7. They beat Wright 17-0. So they've given up 7 points in the past 2 weeks, but then you got a Bossy team that scored 148 points in three games. Now, typically, when I've gone to this game in the past, Bossy would come out with a head of steam, score some points in the first half, but then just kind of get worn down in the second half, and that's happened on multiple occasions. But I think the Bulldogs, I think that's probably what you might see tonight. I think the Bulldogs will have a pretty good first half, and then Castle will just kind of grind it out in the second half.
Yeah, I also think, Chris, you bring up a good point in Castle's defense being important for them to be a solid team. They gave up a lot of points up at Lucas Oil Stadium, but have come back and played well and shut out Wrights, which usually does not happen in that rivalry for sure, or with any Wrights team. But I find it interesting whether Bossy wins the game or not is not as interesting to me is to see how prolific the offense has been up to this point, scored a lot of points against a very good Jeffersonville team, to see how they score against Castle. And I think that'll give me, at least from my viewpoint, some idea of what this offense for Bossy really is made of. Will they put points up against a good Castle defense?
You know, they say that speed kills, but I think the most important ingredient here is can the Bossy offensive line block out some of those tough defensive linemen and linebackers for Castle? And I think the answer to that question is yes, a little bit, but I think in the second half, I really think the Knights will kind of pull away in that one just because of their defense.
Another game coming up, Harrison North, both with new coaches. Harrison's 1-1, North 1-2. North just lost a tough game to Memorial, a game in which they you know, had to work themselves back in and really had a shot at the game, but Memorial was able to hold on and put it away. Harrison, we don't know what Corey and his group really have. He's still trying to build. He's not just trying to build a team physically. He's trying to build a team mentally that understands not just how to win, but that they can win.
Yeah, and I think all the elements need to be combined. I think you need to have a good feeder system. You need to work on the programs at a younger age. You need to generate interest in football as opposed to basketball and baseball, which have kind of been the staples for Harrison through probably the past decade. I think since Mitch Marsh left the Harrison program, everything has kind of shifted to basketball and baseball, at least for the males. And, I mean, obviously they're very, very good in track as well. Yeah, there's a good quarterback, Ryan Hills, inexperienced, but I think you could say the same for North, having a new head coach and a lot of inexperience. So I think this is a pretty good matchup, at least on paper. I mean, Harrison scored 25 against Modern Day. North really hasn't put up a lot of points on offense, and I think this is their first big chance and big opportunity. They played some tough teams defensively. I think this is North's first chance to kind of experiment a little on offense and do some different things and try to get some take some risks that maybe they didn't take against some of the defensive teams like Henderson County. And I think North, you'll see a little different look tonight for them on offense as they play Harrison.
Yeah, and for me, Chris, I think this is a yardstick for Harrison to tell, at least from a coach's standpoint, where Coach Brunson might feel his team is at. He's playing a city school. He's playing a city school that has similar, is in a similar situation, new team or new coach. Numbers aren't as great as maybe they may be down the road as far as people in jerseys and ability. I think this kind of helps Coach Brunson to find out where he fits in the city with a team that may be not too far ahead of Harrison.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons Corey Brunson was such a good hire is he's a local guy. He's young. He's got a lot of energy. He's exciting. He played football. He played quarterback. He and some of these kids may have even watched him play football. It's probably a little bit of a stretch, but just the fact that Brunson has been around the area and can generate some interest in that program, I think Harrison in the next couple of years is definitely going to pick up some steam in that program, and he's kind of going to bring some new life into it. It's been down for a few years, but obviously, you got a guy that like Brunson, who's an offensive coordinator. People like to play. Kids like to play. I think it's the equivalent of basketball. Like, you know, you like to play in a run-and-gun situation behind a coach. You also like to play in a fun offense. And I think Brunson's going to bring an offense. He's a quarterback-minded coach that's going to be very intriguing for these kids. And when they look at it, they look at an opportunity to play for somebody that's in an offense that's a little more fun, not just the basic option offense that maybe Harrison ran in the years past.
The next game to talk about, and this again is an interesting game to me, Chris, Wright's at Central, and here's why. You've got Central 3-0, but I just don't, you know, they're garnering some votes in the coaches' poll, and I don't want Coach Owens to get mad at me because I love their family and the great tradition they have all the way through that family and Central program. I'm just not sold on Central. I do believe they have offense. I'm just wondering, do they have defense? So this matchup intrigues me because it pits a Wright's team that has lost to a good Castle team, lost at the end to a good Henderson County team, at least a Henderson County team that knows how to win at the end. And, you know, it puts Wright's and Central in a matchup of the North and West side, but a good football tradition. I really am trying to figure out, is Central a really good team, or is just Central benefited on having a good offense and they've just hit people at the right time?
Boy, that's a good question. That is the million-dollar question for that. I think it also, you got the battle of Coach Andy's. Don't forget that one. It's Hape versus Owen. But this has been a slugfest the last couple of years. Central won 36-31 in the regular season last year. Wright's bounced back, won in overtime 43-42 in the sectional. So I think you're going to see that offense from Central tonight, but I think you're also going to see the Wright's offense probably peak for the first time this season. They've been a little sluggish to start the season against some teams. Obviously, they were shut out last week. They scored 28 against Paducah Tillman. They only scored 21 against Henderson County. They were shut out against the Colonels basically in the second half. So I think that Wright's offense is going to get it in gear, and mainly probably because the Central Bears defense has been giving up a lot of points. They play at a high rate. They scored 66 in game one, 55 in game two, 56 in game three. So here's a team that's averaging darn near 60 points a game. I don't think they're going to reach that level tonight. I don't think Wright's is going to allow them to do that, but I think it could be very well in the 40s or the high 30s, the kind of games we've seen from these two teams the last couple of years. You know, these two teams, you talk about tradition, they face each other in the sectional every year. For the past 3 years, they've played each other in the regular season and the sectionals. You can't say that about a lot of teams around the tri-state, that they've actually played two times in the same season, 3 years in a row. So these two teams have battled. It's almost like an NFL divisional schedule, you know, because they play so darn often, and I think you'll get your money's worth if you go to this game at Central Stadium tonight.
And when you talk about Central and Wright's and the opportunities to hook up in the tournament and whether one's got enough defense to stop the other or whether Wright's can get the offense that they want moving under Coach Hape, that's all interesting. But you bring in another side of all this, and I'm talking about your game of the week. Last week you had Jasper at Boonville. If you're talking rights and you're talking Central and you're talking Class 4A tournament, well, Jasper is lurking somewhere in there. Your thoughts on Jasper from what you saw and where they fit in all this with the Central and the rights, and I know the season's young and you've yet to see a lot of these teams, but your thoughts.
You know, I think Jasper was got off to a little bit of a sluggish start. Mainly that was because Boonville had such a long opening drive. I don't think I've ever seen a drive that lasted the duration that we saw last week and James Blankenship, you know, gets a field goal out of it. But, man, keeping the Jasper defense on the field. But then you watch how Jasper, it's so typical how they, in the beginning of the game, they don't always start off well. Such was the case when they played Memorial. But towards the third and fourth quarter, they just begin to flex that muscle. And I don't know if it's just incredible conditioning, if it's just heart or what it is up there in Jasper. That they always, in the third and fourth quarter, it seems like they just always turn it on and take it to another level. And if teams aren't prepared for that, then Jasper just marches on to victory. And I think that was the case against Boonville. I think it'll be a tougher game against Heritage Hills, obviously, but I think Jasper just has too many weapons on offense. They got two good backs. Nick Hill was tremendous in that game, and I'm trying to think of the name of the other back, and I can't right now. I've got a mental stumbling block, but the quarterback was very good. Aaron's threw some great passes. They've got a couple of good weapons, a tight end, a wide receiver on offense, and you take all that into consideration, and then you take the fact that their offensive and defensive line are both good, and it's a typical Jasper team. I think they are going to be good. Now, when they meet a Wrights or a Central in the playoffs, they're going to probably have to score a little more points, but usually that style for Jasper, and what I'm always impressed with, is that style, no matter who they play, always seems to win out. And I think that's part of Coach Aaron's game plan, is we're going to play our style, not theirs, and that's what I've always been impressed with throughout the years.
And I think that for Jasper, you're going to get the tough kid. They're going to hold their ground. It's a battle of attrition at the line. Coach Aarons talks about taking space or getting space or taking space away, but you run into a little more quickness when you play the Wrights or the Centrals. Normally, I'm saying normally, then you run into in with the Big 8 Conference. The Big 8 Conference has struggled over really the last decade. You might have a good Vincennes team once in a while, may get a decent Boonville team, but for the most part, it's been a Jasper-dominated conference. So as you go through the season, and I don't know when you have Central or when you have Wrights on some of your games, but I think you're a good gauge to say, I've seen Jasper, I've seen Central, I've seen Wrights. This is how their personnel looks. As a coach, I know this, that on any given night, your team's healthy, the other team doesn't do what they need to do, maybe the weather plays a part in football, it slows the quickness down. I remember a game a few years back, Central should have beat Jasper. Jasper beat Central. Weather conditions, Central speed couldn't take control of the game, and Jasper ends up with a victory. But I think it'll be interesting to get your comments as we go along as you see some of these teams play.
Yeah, I was at that Mud Bowl game, by the way, over at Central Stadium, and I had to throw my shoes away after the game, literally. I threw them in the trash because they were so muddy. I was walking up and down, and it was a perfect scenario for Jasper. Not that I don't think they could have knocked off Central on a night like that, because I think I think the weather does play a little bit of a factor, but it also plays into the style of Jasper. And I think even on a crisp, clean night without rain, that their defense is good. Their philosophy and the way they run the ball so well and then eventually pass. If you look back at some of the good teams where they based it on run, with whether it was Schmidt or Lewis or whoever in the backfield, it's just that grinded out mentality. And you keep the other defense on the field for the majority of the game, I guarantee in the third and fourth quarter they're going to be tired. And I mean, you're a coach. You've seen these high school kids, and no matter what level of conditioning you have, if you're playing the whole game on defense or the majority of game because Jasper's doing a 7-minute time possession drive, then your kids are going to be tired. And I think that philosophy works even against great teams with great speed. Not to say that Jasper doesn't have speed, because I saw a lot of it, you know, against a Boonville team. But obviously, like you said, there's probably more across the board when you're playing teams like a Wrights or a Central.
Yeah, and Chris, conditioning plays such an important role throughout the season. I don't care what sport you're in. It was always important. I know my players just ate them up that was what I pushed so much in practice. But I believe we won a lot more games than we lost, but I believe a lot of times we looked like we had a lot more talent or that. I really think it was because we were just in better condition, and as we got late into games, we could defend and we could do some things offensively, and the other teams just physically were a little tired. And, you know, Chris, you know all about it. Mentally, when you start breaking down physically, the mental part really starts to follow quickly, and that's really what gets athletes in trouble.
Yeah, and I think I broke down physically about 10 years ago. I don't know about you, but, yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I mean, I think one of those things that, you know, when the kids hold the fingers up in the fourth quarter, I think some kids mean it and some kids don't. You know, I think some are really there for the fourth quarter. They're really there for the stretch. And then some are like, hey, let's take this to the house and go home. I got to, you know, play PlayStation or whatever kids do, you know, now on a Friday night. Probably not play PlayStation. That's probably my eternal optimist side. But either way, you know, I think, like you said, I think conditioning is huge. I think it's a factor, and I think it's always going to be a factor when you're playing a team like Jasper. And I think the coaches are probably well aware of that, and I think they probably have harder practices when they have a team like a Jasper on the schedule later in the week.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it's going to be interesting. And Chris, once again, it's always great to have you. You know, I'm sitting here in Evansville, and Joe's over up in Jasper, and you're sitting somewhere in between in Newburgh. And tell us just a little bit about your office, where you're at, and where people can find you.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to I don't know if you've ever eaten at the Knob Hill restaurant, but I am almost right across the street. I have an American Family Insurance agency, and I appreciate you letting me get that on the air. But love treating customers right, and do auto, home, life, all that stuff. You're very well of the insurance game, but yeah, I mean, that's what I do full-time now, but I am lucky enough to get to freelance for the guys at Local 7, so I still get to keep my head and heart still in the high school sports scene. We do football, basketball, and I'm extremely pleased. I'm actually doing a marathon show, the YMC Marathon. I don't know if you're coming down to running that. I know you're still athletic to this day, but I'm doing a marathon show for WEVV. So, you know, a lot of the TV stations let me do that kind of stuff, so I'm very fortunate that I get to do kind of what I love and kind of what makes me money, both.
Well, you've got the great delivery. There's no doubt about that. And again, we appreciate you giving us a plug, the Coach K and Joe Show. We encourage our listeners, if you can view Local 7, you need to. You need to watch these games, keep up on what's going on. Otherwise, you tune in every Friday and listen to Chris Goodman here talk about the SIAC in the area on the Coach K and Joe Show. One last thing before I let you go, Chris. It's early in the season. Any team or player a surprise for you right now?
You know, I was surprised, and I'm not a negative person. I don't want to mean this in any bad way, but I was kind of surprised that Wrights didn't score any points against Castle. I thought that offense would be a little bit better after I saw them against Henderson County, and to see them throw up a goose egg is probably more of a great attribute to Castle's defense than it is to Wrights' sluggish offense. But that's probably my big surprise right now. I think everything else is kind of going kind of according to plan, at least in the SIAC. I don't know. What about you? I'm just trying to think here. Which team may have surprised me? Gibson Southern's awfully good, but we kind of thought that coming in.
Yeah, I don't think I'm surprised. I thought that the SIAC would be a conference that had some good teams, but we wouldn't see the strength of the conference we've seen in the past. I think that when you have a new football coach, or new coach period, if there's any change in the offensive philosophy, it takes a little bit of time to get that rolling, especially if some key players, you're still trying to groom them That's why you always want your defense to be ready to go, because you're not sure what you're going to get. But, no, I really haven't had any surprises. I have been surprised at high school football overall, the number of points that people have been putting up. I've been a little surprised at 40 and 50 points a game. Either defenses are really, really bad, or offensive football has gone a long way in high school football, especially in Southern Indiana.
Yeah, I didn't say it very well, but that was kind of my point with Corey Brunson and his offense, is that that's the kind of thing that kids, you know, they want the fast track now. They want to get on the field and score a lot of points, and I think that's what basketball has evolved to. I think that's what football's going to, and I think if you're coaching that kind of tempo, I think look at Gibson Southern. Look at the interest in that football program and the fact that they're putting up so many points. That gets a lot of interest. If you go out and you beat somebody 10-7 every game, it's not going to draw the support, and you're not going to be as excited to probably play it if you're a 16, 17-year-old man as you would if you're going to score 50 or 60 points a game. I mean, I think that is getting a lot more kids and a lot more interest out, whether it's the defenses that aren't doing a good job, I don't know, or whether the offenses are just progressing to the point where they're not as easy to defend. Maybe that's the optimist in me. Maybe you're right. Maybe the defenses are just not that good.
Well, you know, it's a lot of fun when you see a lot of points go up. If you're a purist, you like to watch both sides of the ball. Or if your son's on the defensive side, you like to watch that too. But it's been fun football so far this season, and it's always fun talking to you. Thanks for being with us, Chris.
Anytime, man. You have a great show. You guys do a great job, and I'll try to plug you as much as I can this year.
Well, thank you a lot, Chris. Once again, Chris Goodman, great to have him. Folks, we're going to be talking with Pete Quinn, one of the voices of Purdue football, coming up in just a few minutes. I know Joe's on the phone pulling Pete up, and Pete Quinn, if you don't remember, Pete Quinn was the center for Purdue football team when Herman was the quarterback. He was voted as one of the all-time greats in Purdue football. So we're going to be excited to talk to Mr. Quinn and hear about not only the Boiler football tradition, but, you know, Coach Hazel and where the Boilers are going to be this year. You know, if you don't get out to football, high school football games very often, you need to. First of all, it's going to be great weather this weekend. Temperatures are going to be perfect for being outside. And before you start your little fire in the backyard or get together, you know, go out and watch a high school football game. There's a lot of them going on, whether you're here in Indiana or in our neighboring states, Kentucky, Illinois, or great football in Ohio, by the way. Are you listen to us out in California? I know we have several people that listen to us out in California and on the East Coast, out of Florida. Get out and watch some high school football. Some of the states that I mentioned have great football. We got a few people in Texas that listen to us. Great football in Texas. So a lot of good stuff going on. We're going to get ready to go to break here. I know Joe's back with Pete Quinn, one of the voices of Purdue football. When we come back, we're going to talk about everything Purdue. Remember, we're going to be talking with Pete Quinn because he's one of the all-time greats in Purdue football history. When we come back, it's Pete Quinn and Purdue football. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Uvalor's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Uvalor's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Uvalor & Son Chevy, Cadillac, and Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Hey, buddy, hold up, man. I'm not talking to you. You keep going.
I want to tell you, man, I'm sorry about having to practice this.
Don't be sorry.
Don't you understand, man? If you don't cool it out there, you're going to end up getting yourself killed.
If I cool it, I won't be helping you guys get ready for the next week's games. Got it?
I got it.
He's just a showboat, man. That's all he's about.
He's just doing his job, Jamie. Can't it?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Kent Schulteis, and we're also joined by an icon of Purdue, I call him. Played from 1977 to 1984, the Boilermakers. Captain his junior and senior year. He's voted to the all-time Purdue football team back in 1987. And now for 22 years has been the color analyst for Purdue's football, Pete Quinn. Pete, how you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. It's finally starting to feel like football weather out there. I'm ready to go tomorrow.
I hope
it's great to have you. This is Coach K. Football weather is here. 22 seasons of talking Purdue football. You're in another transition situation with Coach Hazel. I guess it keeps you active and keeps you on your toes to keep up with the changes and adjustments for a school that you love and a school that loves you, as you're one of the all-time greats of Purdue football.
Well, you guys are too kind. When I first had the opportunity to start doing the color for the radio broadcasts, I honestly felt like it was just going to be something I was going to do for one or two seasons just to have that experience. And I'm as surprised as anybody else. Here I am 22 years later, but the passion's never waned. I still enjoy it. And frankly, I think this season's, I know Purdue's been struggling early in the season, but I don't think I've ever been more enthusiastic and optimistic about the future of the program, just because I've had an awful lot of opportunities to spend some good time with Coach Hazel, and I think Daryl Hazel is going to make a significant impact on that program. And all I'm looking for this season is little incremental improvements. He's got a plan. I believe in him. I believe in his plan. And we're just looking for a little bit of improvement every week, and I think that everybody's going to be pretty excited about Coach Hazel down the road.
Now, Pete, you know, first two games, you know, we're learning a new offense. May not quite have the, you know, Tom Deanhart kind of, he's been on this show, has kind of told us that maybe Coach Hazel doesn't have quite who he needs to have there to run the offense. But, you know, with Rob Henry at quarterback, his main asset are his feet. Do you see Purdue jiving from the plan of action and maybe using him as kind of an option setting or something like that in the future?
No, I don't. I think that, first of all, I think Purdue's got some really good players, kids that have a chance to play at the next level. But it is a new system. It's a very, very detailed system that the coaches have a lot of confidence in. I think they're going to stay with their base. They're going to throw some wrinkles in every week. They're going to build upon that base. But I think his game plan is a good one. I like his thought process. He is going to make Purdue very good at the base offense and the base defense and build off of that. And there's going to be some growing pains. But if you look at I kind of look back at when Coach Hazel was at Kent State in his first season, they start off 1-6. And then the second half of the season, they won four out of the last five games. And then the next year they won 11 games. So this isn't an easy system to learn. I think some of the kids are struggling with it. A lot of their problems early in the season against Cincinnati and Indiana State were the results of one or two missed assignments because it is somewhat complicated, but they're going to get it, and he's going to stick with it. He's got a lot of confidence in his systems, and he's not going to try to make changes that are going to be short-term solutions. He's a long-term guy. So I don't think you're going to see a whole lot different other than the kids getting a little bit more comfortable with the system. And I think once Rob has some time under his belt in this system, he'll start being able to utilize his other assets, because you bring up a great point. Rob's going to be one of the fastest kids out on a football field tomorrow. And, you know, everybody would love to see him get outside the pocket, but he has passed up opportunities to run because he is trying to stay within the system. But each week I think you're going to see a little progress.
Pete, you got a big game coming up with Notre Dame. But before we talk about that, I want to expand a little bit more on your comments. I thought they were spot on. As a coach, you come in to put your system in. I've always believed, and my side was basketball, but I don't care if it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is. The defense usually has to be ready to go. Maybe a little bit sooner than the offense, unless you just have the people to plug in immediately on the offensive side. Purdue's defense has been holding its own to a degree, but at what point, as you watch this Purdue team, does it take a toll on the defense when the offense isn't finding its sink or isn't finding its footing on the field?
Well, I would say in the Cincinnati game, it was late in the first half. you could tell they just had very, very tired legs. There was an awful lot of three and outs. The biggest challenge for the defense for Purdue right now is the number of three and outs, and Purdue has really, really struggled on third down. So there's no question that's impacted the defense. The defense has some really good players. They've got a couple players I think have a chance to be very, very successful this year. I'm a big Greg Latta fan. The right end is I think he's special. I think Ryan Russell has a chance to be very special. Of course, Bruce Gaston, I think everybody understands, is very good. They've got talent. They've got kids on this football team that know how to play football. They're just not quite there yet, and it's a team sport, probably more than any other sport I know of. And so the defenses, some of their struggles have been impacted by the lack of third down production by the offense. But I know I sound a bit like a cheerleader, but I just truly believe that Daryl Hazel is just doing all the things right. They're still trying to learn each other, and they're still learning the systems. But I think that as the offense gets better, they start having a little bit more success on their third down conversions, you're going to start seeing a lot of improvement on the defensive side of the ball as well. If you look back, guys, and you're probably both too young to even remember this too well, but my freshman year, we had a new coach by the name of Jim Young, and we were putting in a new system, and we went 5-6 his first season and got thrashed by Michigan and Ohio State, you know, 46-6, 46-0, you know, just really bad games. And the very next year, we go 9-3, and we beat Michigan and Ohio State. So, you know, there's precedent being set here, and the similarities between the style of Jim Young and how Jim Young coached and what Jim Young expected from his players and Daryl Hazel is amazing. The similarities are just, it's almost comical how similar they are. So I think Daryl, he believes in excellence. He preaches excellence. He preaches the details. And it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And every week I go in with some enthusiasm just to see incremental improvements in certain areas. I think there definitely was between week one and week two. And I think there will be this week as well. What that equates to in a one-loss record for this season, who knows? But he's in it for the long haul. He's going to build a program, and I think you're going to like what you see.
Now, Pete, you know, I'm very familiar with Trinity and St. X down in Louisville High School. Great football rivalry there, and always excited when the Boilermakers get someone from one of those schools, the Dan Bicks and et cetera. But the Dawkins kid from Trinity, the running back, you know, seems like, we're not only learning a new offense, we also have quite a few young kids that are out there on the field learning in their first experience playing Division I football as well. What are your impressions on some of those young kids that are making their way onto the field right now.
Well, the fact that they're on the field speaks volumes. I think Dalen Dawkins, anybody that saw him, by the way, Vic is one of my all-time favorites. I loved watching Dan Vic play. But Dawkins is absolutely making an impact this year and will continue to do so. I'm pretty excited about some of these young offensive linemen who are getting a lot of snaps. Jason King out of Little Rock, I think, is going to be a big player for us. He's a redshirt freshman guard. Jordan Roos is a redshirt freshman guard, 6'5", 320. He's out of Texas. J.J. Prince is a redshirt freshman out of Southlake, Texas, 6'6", 288. I think these guys have an opportunity to be pretty darn good. And so it's going to be interesting watching these guys grow up in front of our eyes, and they're growing up in a system that next year they'll be very, very comfortable with. I guess when people ask me about Purdue football, I just say the best is yet to come. Everything he's doing for a reason. If somebody's not playing that the casual fan might think should be playing more, there's a reason they're not right now. And I think it's you just got to have a little bit of faith if you're a Purdue fan right now that this guy's doing the right things. But I'm a little bit closer to the program than most people, and I can assure you he's doing the right things.
Pete, I really love the focus that you're making on being true to what you believe in and doing the right things. I believe Coach Hazel will be very successful. And as an IU fan, it's hard for me to say that for a Purdue coach, but I believe he will be successful. And I think from a coaching standpoint, you make me feel good about what I believe about him. He's staying true to things. He's not panicking because of the score on the board. You know, I used to tell my players, we're not worried about the score right now. We're worried about each possession. We're worried about how we perform on the defensive possession, how we perform on the offensive possession on the basketball court. The score will take care of itself. When you look at this Purdue team, especially the offensive side, going into this Notre Dame game, are you looking for progress? When you look at their possessions, are you looking for sustained drives? What would you be looking for? To tell our listeners what you would be looking for with your experience on knowing if this Purdue offense is getting a little better.
It's a little bit hard to articulate, but I'm looking for the little things, and I'm seeing a lot of positives. For an example, this is going to sound silly, but even the way they break the huddle and get lined up, how much talking, how much communicating is going on? Do they look confused out there? And in the first game, the difference between the first and second game was relatively dramatic. They seemed a little bit comfortable with the way they were supposed to line up. They seemed a little bit more comfortable with their assignments. So I'm looking for improvement on how they're communicating with each other and even with the sidelines. I'm seeing some improvement there. I'm looking for the older players buying into the system, and I think we're seeing that across the board. Some of these fifth-year seniors who have been around for a while, this is toughest on them because this is their last hurrah, and they will be responsible. Some of these guys like the Trevor Foys of the world and Justin Kitchens, these guys that have been here for a while, Ricardo Allen and Bruce Gaston, when this thing does turn around, those guys are going to be given a lot of credit because they're basically buying into the system. And then you start looking at guys like B.J. Kanoff, who's a redshirt freshman, who's got three more seasons left, and that kid's explosive. He's exciting, and he's a kid. You know, he's just learning. D'Angelo Yancey is a freshman. He's getting valuable minutes. Shane Mikeski is a sophomore, and Danny Etling is sitting on the sidelines with Austin Appleby watching this offense. That's invaluable to these guys. So you kind of start going through the kids that are getting some experience this year and getting a chance to understand the system. You can't help but start getting a little bit enthusiastic about 2014. And I'm not writing off 2013. I can almost guarantee you that the second half of this season that there's going to be enough improvement that the coaches from Penn State, Illinois, and Indiana, our last three games, they're going to be concerned about the Boilermakers. I guarantee you that Brian Kelly is not overlooking this Purdue team because they have enough weapons in guys like Akeem Hunt, who could break one at any time. Raheem Mostert, you know, is he going to have another 90-yard touchdown return? You know, they've got all these talented athletes in different positions. Is Ricardo Allen going to get his next pick six? They're not going to take these guys lightly, even though they obviously struggled their first two games. I think these coaches are smart enough to know that Daryl Hazel knows what he's doing, and it's just a matter of time when you're going to see this offense click. With Purdue and Joe Tiller's first year, that offense looked like it had weeks and weeks and weeks before they were going to start producing when you saw that Toledo game in the opener. And then all of a sudden, you could just all of a sudden see it click with Billy Dicken. He got it, and the receivers got it, and I think everybody was just – thinking the worst after that Toledo loss, and they went on to win nine games that year, and then he had all those great bowl seasons after that. So I think we're in for a similar experience, but I really like the way Daryl, as you indicated earlier, you articulated it really well. He believes in himself. He believes in the system. He's not going to deviate from that for short-term, you know, little successes. He wants to build a program, and I think that Purdue is dangerous every week. And, again, I don't know what the record's going to be, but I do know that every week they're going to get incrementally better.
And I think, Pete, as you talk about them getting better, I think they will, because I think the energy level will be so great that they're not going to let those guys give up. And you made a great point. You articulated your point very well in what talking about the little things. And I would encourage any fan of Purdue or our listeners in general – it matters how they get in the huddle. It matters how they break the huddle. It matters how guys substitute in and off the field. It matters how the play comes in. I think all those little things build up to those opportunities to have the ball at the end of the game and get the win, or have the goal line stand to get the win. And I think as the season goes on, that's when coaches with teams that are pretty good or need one more win to get into a good bowl game or can't afford a loss to get into a bowl game, they better be leery of that type of Purdue team. Because if your kids have any kind of a letdown, this hungry Purdue Boilermaker team, over these next 4 or 5 weeks, they're going to sneak up and get you.
Yeah, they're going to beat somebody they're not supposed to beat this year. There's just no question in my mind. And they're going to continue with the improvement. The offensive line, I think, is coming together very nicely. They're going to have setbacks. You know, Gabe Cox isn't going to be playing this week, and the tight end's such a big part of this offense that, you know, the guys behind him are going to have to – they're going to have to come through. Justin Sims is a very good tight end. Sterling Carter is going to have to have an impact. Patrick Beatty is more than likely going to get some snaps at tight end. So, you know, it's the next man up. But he really – I think – Coach Hazel and his staff do a really good job of coaching the entire team. So even the guys that aren't going to be on the field this year are getting better. The way he runs practice, every minute is accounted for. His off-season conditioning program is outstanding. It's all going to equate to success. And now it's just a matter of Boilermaker fans being patient. And at the end of the day, if you're a Purdue fan, this is your team. You know, get out there. I'm enthused about this weekend because it's supposed to be a very, very good crowd. It's going to be under the lights. I think it's going to be at or near a sellout. That's the kind of thing that I want Purdue to get back to. That's what I think Daryl can get him back to. I think he can create enough success, optimism, enthusiasm that sellouts are going to be a common theme in Ross-Ade Stadium, and it's not just going to be one or two big games a year, but I'm hoping that next year, based on what people see, I don't even think we've determined who our opener is yet, but I know we play Central Michigan September 6th. I'd love to see 62,500 people in the stands for Central Michigan, and I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen a lot sooner than a lot of people might think it's going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you, Pete, your enthusiasm and your commitment, you've got me believing. You've got me believing that this Purdue team is going to go where they need to go, and I think they will. Before we let you go and end the segment, Notre Dame, a marquee game, because Notre Dame is a nationally ranked, nationally looked at nationally as the program, one of the top programs. Purdue has a great history with Notre Dame. Is there anything about this Notre Dame team, when you look at them, you're looking to see if Purdue can do this against their defense or this against their offense that will give you some kind of insight. Is Notre Dame a top 20 team? Are they a top 10 team? Do you have concerns about their defense? I question the rhythm of their offense, although they have scored points. Anything that Purdue fans or our listeners can look for in this Notre Dame-Purdue matchup?
With this offense and defense that Darryl is putting in his base, and most games you can say this about, the offensive and defensive line play is so critical to the success, getting off the ball, getting movement, getting the right bodies on the right bodies. This is going to be a significant challenge. I will be looking to see how Robert Kugler, who is a sophomore starting center, who I think has he'll be all conference before his career is over, and maybe even more. I think this kid is a very talented kid. What's he going to do when he's against Lewis Nix, who's probably going to get drafted in the first couple of rounds, if not the first round? You know, they're going against a very, very talented front seven. I want to see how they compete with this front seven. Last year it was a little frustrating when we would play Notre Dame really well, we'd play Ohio State really well, arguably could have won either of those games, and then just look like we weren't even in the same league when we played Wisconsin and Michigan. And I know that that's going to be in the past in the very near future. I think they will compete no matter who's against them if they stay focused on what they're trying to accomplish. So I guess when I'm watching this game tomorrow night, I'll be paying particular attention to how Kevin Panfile and Devin Smith and Robert Kugler and Trevor Foy and Justin Kitchens, how do they compete with the front seven of the defensive line for Notre Dame, and then vice versa. You know, Ryan Russell and Greg Latta are very, very good defensive ends for Purdue. We've got several defensive tackles that I think can make an impact. Ryan Watson, Ryan Isaac, Bruce Gaston, Eric McDaniels. They'll be going against a very veteran, very good offensive line. Zach Martin out of Indianapolis Chittard will leave, barring injury, will leave Notre Dame starting more football games than anybody in the history of Notre Dame. You know, that's saying a lot. Zach Martin could have left college last year. He graduated last spring. He could have gone in the NFL and cut a big check. He's certainly a first-round draft pick. He's going to be going against Zach Martin. How are we going to compete with those guys? How do we stack up against them? And I like the way that our offense and defensive lines look, and I think they're playing with more confidence every week. And I'll be watching the line play very closely tomorrow.
Well, I tell you what, Pete, it's been great to have you. You are a great ambassador for Purdue football and for Purdue University. Great player, all-time great at Purdue. And I wasn't that young. I was in high school when you were playing on the college level. I was watching Mark Herman fling that ball all over the place, and you were making that happen for him. And I do think that for our listeners, this is a program to watch. Watch what Coach Hazel does, not just this year, but over the course of time. And we look forward to having you back in a few weeks and seeing the progress and getting your insight and where you think the Boilers are.
Well, I'll look forward to it, guys. Call me anytime. But my message to the Boilermaker fans is be patient, support the heck out of the school, get in the stands. You can't imagine what an impact that has on the kids when they see a full stadium. And have confidence, and sometimes that's easier said than done, but I've been around this game for many, many years. I'm extremely optimistic about the football program at Purdue and what Darryl Hazel's getting done up there. So jump on the bandwagon early.
Thanks for being with us, Pete.
Pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon.
Well, that was Pete Quinn, one of the voices of Purdue football, and as an IU fan, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed talking to him. Hey, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have Kurt Guxell talk to us a little bit about some high school football. We'll also talk a little bit about IU's loss and upcoming game with Bowling Green, and I'm sure a number of other things. Who knows? It might even get heated. You never know what's going to happen here on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
I gotta work on my game.
No. Don't think of it as work. The whole point is just to enjoy yourself.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're on the Coach K and Joe Show, and it's time for the rant. And Don Schulteis won't be joining us, but we do have Kurt Gutzel from DC Broadcasting. Kurt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. Coach, great.
Gosh, Kurt, it's good to hear your voice. We missed you last week. The stock market's up, and Kurt Gutzel's up, and it can't get any better than that. I'm sure that some people think it might be able to get better than that. But, Kurt, let me start by giving you a pat on the back. I know you don't need it because you're confident in the person you are, but a couple weeks ago we talked about Southridge Jasper. Our Indianapolis contributor Don Schulteis was pushing for you to make a decision, and you said, I don't know that I can call this one. And you know what, Kurt? You were right. I mean, it rain delays and lightning and Jasper up and Southridge coming back. You were right. It was a great game, a great finish, and it was too close to call.
You're right, and you know me. I would have told you if I had a clear-cut favorite, but I didn't. And I know some people, you know, the old-time Jasper fans, they were looking at it as one of these deals where Jasper's going to blow Southridge out. And I think people that don't follow the football around here found out that, you know, they were, you know, really two good teams out there on the field. And a lot of people talked to me about that after the game, said, you were right, just like you guys said. And Jasper played a really good game, so did Southridge. And, I mean, it was just an outstanding night. Too bad we had the lightning and the rain delay because that thinned the crowd out. But Southridge got it going after that lightning and rain delay and really made that into a really, really good high school football game, the kind that you build on win or lose.
Yeah, and Kurt, I think that there was a perception that you were trying to be politically correct since you're the voice of the Raiders and also have a connection with Jasper. But listen, this is a Coach K and Joe show. You're a professional, and I agree with you. If you would have thought that it wasn't going to be a close game, you would have said it. There were people that thought it wouldn't be a close game, but Southridge showed their mental toughness. And I really believe it wasn't just their physical ability, but their mental toughness under their new coach and probably brought along from their past coach. And they just hung in there and played each possession, each down, each series, took advantage of opportunities. Jasper did what they needed to do. Jasper came out on top, but it was a great high school game to watch.
And there's no doubt, and I credit both teams, because if you were there that night, you realize how hot it was. And both these teams, I it doesn't surprise me knowing how well they're run, but both those teams were so well conditioned, and that's the name of the game now. Back in the day, you teams would not be in really good condition, and you'd find some cramps, and you talk about guys going both ways. It doesn't matter with really good programs, really good teams. Those guys withstood that heat and were just great football players and great football teams throughout that game. And that's what I took from there, because those two teams were just warriors out there, because it was hot. I mean, it was unbelievably hot. And the days of, you know, teams not being in shape or, you know, succumbing to that stuff, they take that element totally out of the game so they can concentrate on what they need to do, which is the X's and O's and doing what they're supposed to. So, again, I give both teams credit.
Yeah, I credit the coaching staffs. And you know, it's hard a lot of times to push your players to get in shape. It's an all-season, all-round, all-year-round thing, and then it's really tough as you start the season. And I know as a coach, I get those little cut eyes at me once in a while when we do that next, what we used to call killer drills, the line drills, or we go into another full court drill to just keep it going. But you know what? In the end, when the kids are running off the field, they played a great game. They've hung in there till the end. I think our winning percentage when I was coaching in overtime, we won 90% of the time. It is conditioning, Kurt, and it makes a big difference. Yes, talent makes a big difference too,
right,
but your kids have to be conditioned to go through the tough, tough grind.
And they do it all summer, you know, whether no matter what sport you're in. So they coaches use that as the conditioning portion, so you don't work on it as much. When the practices start, you get to do what your specialty is. But with all in all, you know, it's just I'm amazed with the physical condition of not just, you know, the football players, but any sport. They take that really serious. And if you're going to be good, you're going to have a good program, whether it be volleyball, tennis, football, basketball, whatever, you're going to have in shape guys. So that's really cool. And the good programs that we have around here, they go well and beyond that deal there.
Yeah, absolutely. We just got done talking, Kurt, I don't know how if you caught any of it. We got done talking with Pete Quinn, former all-time great center at Purdue, was the center for the Boilers back in the mid-80s, Mark Herman quarterback. I should say late 70s, early 80s. Mark Herman was quarterback. He's listed as one of the all-time greats. He's one of the voices for the Purdue Boilers, and he was talking about Coach Hazel and sticking to his guns and trying to get there. This is my segue into last week's game between Navy and IU. And it was a game that did not end up, obviously, the way IU fans would have wanted. I know we had talked with Mike Pegram from Pegs.com earlier in the day, and I talked about, you know, how do you see this game as a defensive? Does the defense have to win this game, or does the offense? And he brought up the defense, and he might have taken my question and looked at it a little bit differently. But I thought the offense was going to have to win that game, and I'll tell you why. I thought the Navy offense is tough to defend, especially if you don't see it very often. IU's defense is still young. IU's defense isn't very good. And I thought the offense would have to score the points to win that game. They darn well almost did. Fumbled near the goal line. Didn't get on track early in the game. Kurt, the Navy loss, I hope we don't go back to this game and say, this cost us a bowl game. It very reminiscent to the year before, except we lost the lead and they came back and beat us. But we just didn't get the job done in the trenches when we needed to get it done.
Well, there's a couple things that was just alarming. The call to go for it early in the game after Navy drove it down your throat, you're on your own 30, not Navy's 30. Can you go for it in a game like that? Did you know that they're going to put some points up on the board? You know, then Sudfeld threw a pick in the red zone. And you're down 17 to nothing. And I don't care who you're playing, you get down 17 to nothing. That's a recipe for disaster. And, you know, the Navy, you know, the triple option or whatever, that's all fine and dandy, but they made no adjustments to get that righted throughout the game. And then they come back on Tuesday, well, we were just stubborn. We were going to stick with the game plan that we put out. you know, and everybody's talking about how the Navy, you know, that triple option, you don't see it very often. Navy's not going 12-0 or 13-0. They're not going to win a national championship, so somebody's going to stop it. The total disregard to making adjustments in that game by the defensive staff was uncalled for. Go ahead.
You make a good point. I mean, I don't care what your game plan was, and I don't understand why you would. It's not like it's your first year there and you're trying to teach a certain mindset. I mean, I'm not saying that Navy's offense is a top 10 offense. I'm just saying that because IU's defense isn't that great to begin with, you are going to be in a heck of a lot of trouble if you let them keep coming on the field. Obviously, IU's ability to score gets Navy back on the field a little bit, but when you're down 17 to zip, you got to make some things happen. But I agree with you. And I know I've coached only on the high school level, coached some all-star camps and teams, but I don't care what level of coaching, what business you're in, what parenting style you do, you've got to make adjustments, especially when you've got the other side of the ball trying to get yourself in position to win the game. I'm disappointed with that, Kurt, and I got to say that Coach Wilson needs to address that ASAP.
Well, I agree. I'm a person that doesn't buy the we made adjustments at halftime 90% of the time because I don't think that's the case at all because I've gone back to the old basketball days with Coach Knight where, he must have made great adjustments. No, he just turned over a couple of tables and hit a couple of lockers and they came back and played better. But the fans out there thought he made all kinds of great adjustments. And you've been in those kind of situations as well. You just do whatever you have to do, but you probably didn't talk X's and O's. But in this case, there's something fundamentally wrong with the way they attacked that Navy offense to happen over and over and over. There's very few times in a college football game where a team in a game that went back and forth did not punt. I mean, I don't even know if they brought the punter with them. It may have been like golf where they brought an extra running back. Like in golf, you know, you have 14 clubs. Sometimes you throw off the driver, put in an extra sand wedge. Navy might have done that. They might have put in an extra offensive lineman and left the punter at home. That's to come into a Big Ten stadium and not punt the football in a game that was pretty competitive back and forth. It's one thing you blow somebody out by 60 points. You don't need your putter. I understand that. But in a game that's back and forth, not have to putt because the other team did nothing to stop you, it's unbelievable how that happened.
And the other scary thing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong statistically, but we're talking about an Indiana defense that was last in the league in turnover opportunities. I don't think Navy had a turnover, did they?
No, and that's another thing. You're pitching that ball. You're faking multiple handoffs. You are, putting in a guy's belly and pulling it out and running the read to not create a turnover.
Game of the year for Navy on the road and no turnovers.
And Indiana had the well-publicized game on Thursday, so they'd have the two extra days, as well as what they talked about in fall camp and spring practice to stop this Navy attack, and they just didn't do it. But that being said, you know as well as I do, I have, every IU fan has left that stadium down through the years mad as hell for a variety of different reasons, and it's been those same type of road trips back home after watching some of that stuff. But for some reason, I don't know if I'm just numb to it, or maybe I'm looking at the big picture like you talked to Pete Quinn about with Purdue. I'm saying if they can flush that out, and I'll buy the coach's rhetoric that you don't see that offense anymore, and you won't see that anymore, then maybe they'll flush it out and get after BG tomorrow and go through the rest of the season and learn from that. And maybe, like I said, maybe I'm dull to the fact that the losses don't bother me as much, but maybe I have some confidence in Wilson and those guys to get that address, and they can go on from here. But it was weird because you had a big crowd, you know, all the Navy people, which was really neat, the people in uniform and anybody that's ever been with the Navy or had ties with the Navy, they were there. Kids didn't heckle the opposition. Fans didn't get on other fans. So you had a nice, really nice night, and the fans didn't leave at halftime or they left and they came back into the stadium. That's the worst thing you can do is lay an egg like that when you're trying to build a program. That's what I took.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I am a Coach Wilson fan. I believe in the direction of IU, but I'm just frustrated. You know, we had some key guys on defense last year that we don't have this year, but they didn't have much help with them. And then we got some newcomers who are going to be key for the next 3-4 years, but they don't have much. You know, they're young, so they don't have they have a little bit of a curve there, and that's just the way it is. But it's so frustrating because Navy comes in, they haven't had a game, they're on the road, just like you said, Kurt, you said it so well, they're pitching the ball out there almost every time, all over the place, not just handoffs, pitch outs, and we can't create any kind of a turnover when we need it. And we just, I just think it was a tough, tough loss for the program.
Oh, it was, and there was a really questionable pass interference late in the game. And both sides, some of the officiating was unbelievable, even on the Navy side, because they're doing some things like, you know, they cut block and looks like they hold on every play. But that being said, just get the guy on the ground, and Indiana didn't do it and didn't get off the field when they needed to. But you know what? You know, you're playing a good team. I'm not saying a grim team. Like I said, they're not going 12-0 because nobody's going to stop that, what they were doing. But you know what? It's another Saturday tomorrow, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and it is. And I like playing Navy because Navy plays a pretty decent national schedule. And so you get a chance to play a team that plays some of the better teams in the country at different times through their schedule. Bowling Green coming up, another home game for the Hoosiers. I thought we could go 5-0, 4-1 at home. I know Joe's going to say, no, you said 5-0, and I did. I'm disappointed in the Navy loss. Bowling Green, what are your thoughts, Kurt, about this Bowling Green-IU matchup?
Well, I like it. I like the matchup for Indiana because, again, I think they can score no matter who they're playing against. They proved that last year against Ohio State with the weapons that they have. But Bowling Green's supposed to be a tough defensive team. So, you know, that'll be their defense against Indiana's offense. But can Indiana just get off the field defensively? And I have some confidence that they have enough athletes to beat a MAC team to get off the field because, again, they're not going to do some of the things that Navy did. They'll be more conventional. But you know what? At this point in Indiana's development, in the Indiana's past in the last 20, 25, 30 years, you can't take these MAC teams for granted. And that's why you should go to the game and or watch the game or listen to the game because that's where Indiana is right now. But, I mean, I like Indiana tomorrow in that game. If what Wilson's preaching and what he's doing and how this program's on track, this should be a bounce-back game. But if something happens where Bowling Green comes in there and flexes their muscle or gets their will imposed on Indiana, then you've got to have some questions. You've got to ask some questions. So, I
agree, Kurt.
Question.
I think
I like Indiana.
We're IU fans. There's no doubt about it. We're positive IU fans. But if this defense can't get in some gaps, create some turnovers, do some of the things, at least sustain some defensive situations where you don't allow teams to drive up and down the field, you've got to start looking at that staff and their approach to the defensive end of the game. I love our offense, but you know what? In the end, the Big Ten is too tough to try to outscore the other team. It's just too tough. You got to be able to play defense.
Well, at least make a guy punt every once in a while. I mean, that team's never going to be a great defensive team, at least not in the next couple of years. They do have some good athletes that will turn into good defenders, and that's what they're aiming for. But just be respectable and, you know, create the situation where the other team is behind the chain, the 3rd and 6s, the 3rd and 7s, the 3rd and 8s. You know, Navy, not too many times were they even at 3rd and long where they had to put the ball in the air. It was 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. So, you know, that's what they're after.
If you specialize in punt returns, you're going to have a lonely time if you come to IU, at least in this situation. Let's jump on to one of your favorite teams, Kurt, the Miami Dolphins. Miami comes into Indianapolis. Let's talk about those Dolphins. What are we going to expect from the Dolphins as they take on the Colts?
A very good defensive team. That doesn't match up well for the Colts, who had a tough time with their offensive line. It didn't look very good. They didn't protect Andrew Luck. He threw 2 touchdown passes. He didn't see the end result because he was on his back. The Dolphins, a very good defensive team. Offensively, they're challenged. Tannehill is a really good quarterback. They went out and got Mike Wallace, that I guess they threw to him like one or two times. They didn't target him. He was whining after the game. And, you know, they pay him $60 million. Like, he may have a point, but you usually don't whine after you win, especially a road game in the National Football League. So I expect if you have Mike Wallace on your fantasy team, he's going to get the ball this week because that's what happens with Diva receivers. They complain, they get the ball. Hartline had a big game because they were doing some things with Mike Wallace for the Browns. So I think it's going to be a good matchup because the Dolphins, they're going to be in most games because of their defense. But, again, can they, like kind of like a Purdue situation, can they score a little bit and test the Colts in that way? Because I think the Colts, you know, they're pretty decent with their skill guys. Reggie Wayne, unbelievable. Luck, unbelievable. So that's how I look at it. I think it's going to be a really good competitive game.
Yeah, I'm interested to see just how far Miami's offense has come because I do think there's some holes on the Colts defense. And if Miami, who has disappointed – Kurt, I know you're a Miami fan. I'm not a huge follower, but they have disappointed me in the post-Marino years offensively. Just always talk about we think we've got it figured out, but never being able to put a consistent offensive product out on the field. If they can do that, I think Miami wins this football game. I talked with Joe, and we've got about 40 seconds left in our live part of the show, folks. You can hear all of the Coach K and Joe show, plus the rant, the extended version. You go to CoachKandJoeShow.com. You can hit on the show on Blog Talk Radio and hear the entire show. But, Kurt, I thought an overhyped game was Chicago and the Cincinnati Bengals. Everybody, every year, oh, Chicago's got it figured out. Great defense. Their offense is finally coming. Cincinnati Bengals, one of the best defenses. I heard several commentators say, oh, they got a great defense this year. Bengals will beat Chicago in Chicago. No, Chicago. I just think that's an overhyped game. I don't look at these two teams as great teams in the NFL.
Well, because it all starts with their quarterback play. You got Dalton. He's been up and down. He's got good weapons. You got Cutler. They tried to help him, but he's been all over the place. In that league, you've got to start with the quarterback, and that's why those two teams are where they are.
Yeah, and we look at the Dallas Giants game. I mentioned that earlier in the show. I just thought the Giants continued to do what they were doing in the preseason. They weren't playing very good football. Unforced turnovers, just mistakes on the lines. Eli overthrows, underthrows, throws behind. I'm not so sure Dallas won that game as much as the Giants lost the game.
No, I agree. The Giants, they've got some problems with the way they go about things offensively. Defensively, they're usually all right. But, you know, I just think in a game when they play the Broncos, who are going to put points on the board, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, it is interesting in that matchup, in my opinion. I question some of the Bronco defense right now. I think it's going to come. But even in that game against Dallas, they talked big about the Dallas defense coming up with turnovers, although I thought they were unforced, but they did make the plays. Eli threw for over 450 yards, I believe. So it looks like, at least on paper, two quarterbacks that are going to move the football up and down the field, barring turnovers.
Oh, I think so, because Peyton was unbelievable in his game the other night. And I just think it's going to be an offensive show, and the best offense is going to be the one standing at the end with the win.
Yeah, I do too. Let's talk about things. Joe, you're right in there with us. Things that are going on in the sports world with teams or individuals, you just don't like. You're just unhappy. Is there anything going on with a team, with a coach, with a player at a level that's just bugging you right now, Kurt?
You know what? I'm rather calm. I think everything's going great. What about you?
I don't like it. I don't like hearing that at all from you, Kurt. Come on, get mad about something. You know what bothers me? This NASCAR mess. And maybe you're not following NASCAR and Joe's not following NASCAR. We've got this NASCAR situation. They're claiming one of the drivers spun out intentionally to make sure his teammate got in the chase. They overruled that. He's out of the chase. Jeff Gordon is now griping. Well, I missed the chase by one point because of all this mess. I should be in the chase. Listen, guys, I don't know. When you allow car owners to have multiple drivers.
Right. I'm going to help you. You help me. That's done.
What do you expect? Do you expect them to just stay individually focused the entire time? You're talking about money that comes into the organization that gets paid out in bonuses and everything else. Kurt, that if you don't want that, don't have multiple driver car owners.
Exactly. That's what I said. The guy's got to be competitive with themselves. I mean, it's like this weekend, you know. The Cubs say, well, Pittsburgh, I'm going to help you out this week. We're going to just lay down and because I want the Cardinals to win, you know, or whatever. You know,
yeah, it's almost.
Are you competitive or you're not?
Yeah, and you know what? If I am driving with people, we get along, we're on the same team, there's bonuses to be shared, and there's an opportunity in there, I can't help what I do at that point. Yeah, I mean, it's just part of the competitive nature. Otherwise, keep these guys individual drivers, one driver owners, and move on with it. But it's almost, pre-hyped, oh my God, Danica Patrick, they pre-hyped her all year. She's done squat. I think she was the first one out in the last race.
Right. So, yeah, NASCAR, I agree with you.
NASCAR needs to take a look at some things. And I'm a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan, but I'll tell you right now, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not a serious contender to win a race in any weekend. He is a serious contender to finish in the top 10. But you know what? I don't know that you should be celebrated for finishing in the top 10. Get out there and win some races.
Exactly. That's the same thing with the PGA Tour. You know, guys, you know, it's a good player. But, I mean, I look at that as being a little bit more competitive. And I guess NASCAR is competitive, too. I mean, you can make a good living being just average or because the field is so deep. But,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anything else going on before we close things down?
Well, you need to tell us what you got going on so our listeners know either to tune in and listen to you on BDC or Channel 27, whatever it is. Tell us what Kurt Gutzel's got going on.
Southridge, North Posey tonight, really good PAC game at Raider Field, 8 o'clock Eastern on 100.9 FM WBDC. Those two teams are really good in their league. Should be good. Steve Korb over on WAXL have the Jasper Heritage Hills game at 8 Eastern. So our company, we've got a lot of things going on tonight.
And, Kurt, before we end up, North Posey has got a new head coach for the first time in decades, and he's doing a pretty good job with them.
Right, Paul Rankiewicz, he's been with Coach Jangleball for 20-plus years, so he basically ran the offense down through the year, so there's not much difference schematically with those two teams. But, you know, you get a little bit of a change in culture. Maybe guys get a little comfortable, and I think that's what has happened with their team being 1-2, although they played some good teams, kind of like the Heritage Hill situation. They're doing a lot of the same things. But, you know, when that guy that you kind of respect or you kind of even fear a little bit steps down, you kind of get a little bit more relaxed. Sometimes relaxed and comfortable is not good when you're trying to compete.
And from any information on Heritage Hills, are they all healthy? I know they had some guys that were hurting. Are they back? Is this a Heritage Hills team that'll be ready for Jasper?
They're still without their quarterback Wilkerson, and he's not played all year. I don't think he's going to be in there. But when those two teams play, you know, it's just not going to be one of these, you know, random, you know, big blowout games on either side that they're used to playing any other week for the most part. So it's going to be good down there at Heritage Hill.
Well, folks, this is beautiful weather. Get out, watch a high school football game. Go see a college football game. Don't sit in the TV room. Take the TV outside on the patio and enjoy the weekend.
All right. That sounds good, Coach.
All right, Joe, take us home. Take us home. You're the man. You start us, you finish us.
You didn't. First of all, I will be making an appearance, a guest appearance at the Bowling Green game tomorrow. I will be wearing neutral colors because I could not find any Falcon stuff. But also, you didn't give me a chance to give you my thing I don't like, thing I like. They're correlated. The Yankees are now just one game out of the wild card. But at the same time, anytime the Boston Red Sox are having any success, I get sick to my stomach. So there's my little tidbit.
Well, if A-Rod gets in the playoffs via the New York Yankees, MLB is a bigger joke than I ever thought it was, and so is the Yankees, who I've always liked. Bowling Green, remember, that's an early start, Joe. You got to be up there. It's an early game.
We're leaving, I think, at 7 o'clock to go up and tailgate. So the Twins,
well, the Schulteises will not be tailgating this weekend as some other events are going on, but we'll be back up at IU doing that next weekend.
Okay, well, you know, anybody also wants to come visit, you know, we'll be also at tailgating at the Heritage Hills Jasper game tonight, a big game, and I'm sure we'll be getting a quality call from Steve Cole that game on BAXL 103.3. So I'll tell you what, for Kurt Guxel, for Coach K, Ken Schulteis, and Joe Milligan, we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.